You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.
Of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
Welcome to 90 Days Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about communication on emotional issues and how to negotiate, communicate, and come to an agreement with your partner, loved one, and perhaps even a business associate.
Yeah.
We'll work it all in because it's all the same in certain ways. So I think the way to start this off is let's talk about a situation, an emotional situation. Where do you want to start? You want to do business or do you want to do a personal relationship?
I get the person because I get the feeling is more powerful because you have maybe one conversation with your son, your daughter, your husband, wife, or your mama or your father. So that's connection. I told you the skill for have a good communication is the tool more important.
Okay.
The point is when you have emotional, then maybe you are sad or you are angry, create or destroy the tool.
So bringing the emotion, a lot of emotion into the conversation, even if you have tools, can make people start reacting on emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, emotion triggers us physically, right?
Yeah.
So emotions, again, we always like going back to evolutionary psychology, is that emotions are outward signs of how we're feeling, but emotions can be brought in, like emotions are contagious. And if somebody's sad, we can feel they're sad and we can get sad with them. If they're angry and they're angry with us, we can become angry with them.
Yeah.
That they're almost like viruses.
Yeah, and it's not easy, you know. It's not easy to find the control when the topic is maybe relating to the person that you love.
So having a conversation with somebody you love on a very sensitive topic, let's talk about one.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always, but let's talk about an inter-family, within the family, conversation where one person feels one way, the other is maybe not even thinking about it, and now one has to bring up the subject. And let's just talk, let's bring up one. Somebody is visiting you or living with you for a little bit of time, and you feel that at some point, okay, it's you want to bring up the situation directly? No. Okay, we're not going to bring up the situation directly. But say that I have a friend who I grew up with, and they just lost their job in one state, and they need to move to New Jersey. And I say, hey, come live with us for a little bit until you can get on your feet again. And there are plenty of opportunities here in the Philadelphia area. And Lizette's like, oh, that's a great idea. And now here we are, 4 years later.
The guy is leaving.
Still here. He's our engineer. Hey. Hey, Bobby.
You take the video here.
Yeah, yeah, take the video. Get the audio going right. Anyway. He's chained in the basement in our studio. So, no, the point is that for me, maybe he's helpful around the house. He's not getting really in the way of me. I don't really think. I'm working most of the day, so I'm not around the house. But there's this feeling that Lisette has. How would Lisette feel?
I guess you can help somebody, but for 4 years in the house is a lot. And I like to live with you versus somebody else.
Well, they did find a job finally.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, two years ago. Oh, because I'm used
to
him.
Friend.
Yeah, we have a whiskey on Friday night.
Okay, you know. Got it. When I travel, I got it.
Yeah. We go to the movies. You know. We do all the things couples do when you're not around.
Yeah,
okay, so that's it. However, or but, or and, Lizette needs to bring up, hey, isn't it time for Bob to stop engineering our shows and go and find another place
to live? Just coming Sunday to
just
take
is coming
just Sunday.
Sunday
we
to take
have
the show.
Dinner together. It's okay.
That's
but
fine.
That's it.
But not every day. We have to be quiet when we're together so we don't disturb Bob.
Yeah.
Oh, Bob might hear us.
Yeah.
You know, tonight we can't have a romantic dinner because Bob's
in
the other room.
He's at the table waiting for the dinner.
Oh, Bob, we're having a moment here. Wine, and an arm reaches in. It's like, what is this? Oh, I'll pass you the bread. Here you go. The point is that can become a very sensitive subject. When in-laws, when friends, when acquaintances of one person, or more close to one person, are invited into the household, and the other doesn't recognize that it's now becoming an issue for the other, or they think it's not as much of an issue as the other person is saying it is, like not believable. So how do you bring up that subject? How do you tell me about Bob? Instead of on the show, in the middle of a show, bringing up Bob.
But no, cut this part of the video, please. So the point is how I bring the communication, because figure out Bob is your best friend.
Yeah.
And then maybe I can break your heart because, say, Bob has to leave. Mm-hmm. But the point is we're looking for some kind of the tool for negotiation. And typical, because I am so emotional, maybe I start to say, you know what, Bob, leave the dishes in the couch and I put in the sink.
Oh.
You know, Bob is talking loud when I have the show to type or I have my conference in my computer. So I start to bring the negative behavior of Bob versus talking calm with you and the point. So typical, when you have this kind of conversation, it's difficult to leave the focus or leave the point and start to looking for justification for this because you are emotion.
So I'm going to bring it this way, is that, and forgive me for using these terms, but love, hate, or like, dislike, that when we like somebody, oh, the dishes, I love the person, I'll take care of their dishes for them. I dislike the person, I can't believe they left their dishes here. I like the person, oh, look, they had eggs for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they're eating well. They dislike the person, or we dislike the person. Oh, the eggs weren't rinsed off the plate. They're going to be stuck on there forever. The yolk is just, now it's everywhere. That the way we feel about a situation creates a bias in two things. Not only what we see, like what we are now seeing, we're looking for bad things, but how we feel about them. We start adding them together. We see these bad things because we're biased to be looking for them.
Yeah.
The point of this being is now you're going to negotiate with me about Bob.
Mm-hmm.
You've had this bias of I hate Bob or I dislike Bob or now I do because he's getting, like, as I think he's been here too long, I start seeing more and more of the things Bob does. Bob, we're just kidding. You're doing a great job.
Yeah, the point is when you have to sit in negotiation, Bob is a person, but that's the point is you and me because it's our power. So is what I maybe need or want versus what you need and want. And this is the plane that the my goal is Bob move out the house based upon the I evaluate the behavior of Bob because he can be an excellent guy. They clean the house, they cut the grass, and he do a lot in the home, and he's so helpful. But I really, it's not the point. The point is I want to live with you.
Ah.
alone.
So that's the purpose. The purpose is to live with me alone.
Alone, but the point is because I am so emotional, I start to bring example of bad that he need to leave the home.
Right.
And that is the we want to share this kind of the message. So is you separate. Can be bad, good or bad. The point is, you know, lose the focus and the point that you want to negotiate, and take out that. I also wrote some practice. Write the of the what is the really objective or what is the really point that you want intention for this communication.
So let's focus on Bob moving as the purpose. We need Bob to move. Now, there's negative if he doesn't move. If he doesn't move, it stresses our relationship because now you're angry a third of the time and then spills over to me.
Mm-hmm.
So we can look at the purposes to have Bob move, and then we can look at the positive end of that is that allows us to spread out in our house more, be more free in our house, have more time with each other, to do more special things with each other, more dinners, more watching movies, doing different things that
I'm
we can't.
I'm both sure here.
Bob! Okay. No, I mean, meaning the positive is if Bob moves. These are, the reasons I want Bob to move are, and here are the positive things. And if Bob doesn't move, here are the negative things. I feel angry. I don't feel as much love for you because Bob's getting me angry. I associate him with you and why he's here, and I'm angry at him, so now I'm angry at you. Now that I'm angry at you, I see all the things bad that you do, and this becomes a focus on the outcome and the positive and negatives of the outcome, if the outcome happens or if the outcome doesn't happen, rather than the biased behaviors that we're noticing because of our anger or being upset about Bob being here.
Yeah. So also the one interesting point, you never have this conversation when you feel like you see the ditches in the couch and say, let me talk because I saw that. You see that? And you create the problem versus the, okay, let me come down. I'm looking for my balance emotion. And the best moment when Bob is not in the home, hope, and then
keep your voice down, Bob,
and then you can have the conversation with when you balance. I know it's difficult, but this is the hard work for yourself.
Okay.
Is balance your emotion, calm down, be focused on the point that you want to negotiate, and put the topic in the table like the. One, listen, so you can put the coaching part. So okay. I put the topic and I listen, what is your position? I make a question, okay, back and forth to try to achieve one target.
So I want to ask, what is the problem with being emotional when you go into a negotiation or a conversation? What's the problem with that?
Can be destroyed the communication channel, because if you are crying, or you scream, or you are upset and knocking the table and drop it, you broke the channel.
So the words we use, the tone that we use, and the body language all are part of communication.
Mm-hmm.
The words, if we remember this, words are only about 7% of the communication. Tone and body language are 93% of the communication, and how we communicate our message to someone else comes through our tone and our body language.
Mm-hmm.
If our face, how quickly do we react to emotions?
Like that.
Snap. Mm-hmm. An emotion will trigger a response of an emotion in the person that we're being emotional in front of. It may be a defensive reaction, or it could be a response reaction based upon the relationship of the two people. You start crying. I'm like, oh, what's wrong? And I want to take care of you. And either you're really sad and I want to take care of you, or you may be manipulating me.
Mm-hmm.
Would you ever manipulate me?
Of course. Oh, sorry, never, baby. Never. Never. I never do that.
I believe you. It's in my best interest to believe Lizette right now.
And this is on tricky program. When I touch your back, you.
Hold on.
Link, link, link. The bell. You
need water now.
You need water.
Yes, I do. So I think, again, emotion is used to manipulate in a conversation. Emotion can interrupt good communication. That emotion is difficult. And we don't want people to be robots. But when you're at the height of your emotion, you have to realize that that will change the conversation, because they're not going to actually listen to what you're saying. They're going to hear the emotion, and that's going to put filters, all sorts of filters, in what that person hears. So the best thing, again, is to know the time to bring up the subject, mm-hmm. and make sure that the setting is correct to have the negotiation.
Yeah. And also in any negotiation, maybe you have to bring some party, you have to bring some part. So you never go to the negotiation that, oh, my number is 45. And oh, that is not, okay. I don't want to put the 55, I don't want to put 35. This 45, that said, no, you have to go to one gap, because okay. you have to bring something and the other people too. That is part of the negotiation.
So now we just spoke a little bit about a personal issue between two people, mm-hmm. family, partners, and how negotiation works with that. We're going to also overlay business negotiation with relationship negotiation, mm-hmm. see where they're the same, see where they're different, when we're back on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Right after this.
Tired of attracting the wrong type of guy, it was time to give something else a try. 90 days, that is all it took. How she found her match? It is in the book.
90 Days Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Days Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Days Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
Today we're talking about negotiation. We're talking about communication between couples, partners, people in personal and business relationships. We started off with a couple, well,
family,
one
family.
Personal mm-hmm. Challenge with Bob, our engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, we're kidding. It's not a problem. He's gone.
And he bring coffee.
Oh, maybe he'll bring us something now.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, his chain doesn't go that far. Clink, clink, clink. We're going to move into business and business negotiation. Excuse me as I cover my mouth as I talk. One book that I've always found very helpful in business is a book called The Psychology of Influence. I'm sorry, Influence of Persuasion by Robert Cialdini, or Dr. Cialdini, professor of psychology. He has six main subjects in his book. Three things that you do up front, three things you do when you are trying to, quote, close a negotiation. So three things to do prior to, three things to do post-negotiation at the time of, quote, making the deal.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about how that works business-wise, how that works personally.
Mm-hmm.
The first number one thing on this chart is in a business interaction, if you're just meeting a company for the first time, a person for the first time, a photographer for your wedding, maybe a new restaurant you're going to that you want to go to many times, you can meet somebody at the front door, and if you give them something, like a little gift, hey, here's one of our Wall Victoria Dreams pens. Here you go. I have a pen for you. It's a special pen that Lizette and I have printed up with Wall Victoria Dreams on it by Lizette Guevara and Jim Golnick, the relationship engineers, authors of 90 Day Soulmate. Anyway, we give this pen out. We printed a lot of these little gifts. And we give them to people. So we go to a restaurant, we give them to the waiter or waitress. We give them to the person at the front door. In business, you could take one of these, you go visit a photographer for the first time, and you give them a pen and a pad, some little gift. Why do we do that? It's the law of reciprocity. If I do something good for you, you'll feel like you need to do something good for me. Natural instinct. We want to mimic the other person's behavior. We feel that they did something good for us. We feel we owe them. So in negotiation...
So yes, $100. Okay, now clean my car. Okay.
Well, that's a little different, but okay. Yes. What that also does is that the reciprocity, giving and getting back, is a first step in one of the second set of three things, which is called likability. Likability. Mm-hmm. That if we like somebody, and if they like us, we tend to want to agree with them and have more of an inclination to do what they're asking us to do. Mm-hmm. Because we like them. And we want to do things nice for people we like. So reciprocity helps somebody like you better, as long as they don't think you're just trying to manipulate and coerce
them. Exactly.
There's that line of, I'm just a nice person, and I'm likable, and I'm helping you out, and you want to help me out. Or, why are they doing this?
And then you make us suspicious, and I close myself, because...
So, with emotion, too.
Yeah.
So, emotion can be manipulative, or it can be a heartfelt expression of how you feel. Mm-hmm. When used properly.
It has to be natural, I guess, because when you feel like there is a force, the first step that you recommend, you smell and you say, something is wrong. Why did he give me this pen? He wants something from me. Well, versus that you explain, hey, that is we do for everybody. It's a gift because we like to the people find love, find the soul.
Find love. We want to.
So they maybe calm down the situation.
It's a simple pen. It's not outrageous. I'm not giving you $500. Mm-hmm. And not, say, shh, don't tell your boss. Now purchase our car. Yeah. You know, we're not doing that.
So the point is be more natural.
Be natural. Mm-hmm. There's another one called commitment and consistency. If you can get somebody to do something small, then that they'll want to stay consistent with that little thing. For instance, in business, I may say, okay, I can't sell you this copier today, but would you at least let me put one in your building for free for a week, and you tell me how you like it? Oh, okay. Which is also called the puppy dog clothes. Here, have this puppy. If you don't like it, I'll take it back. You know, you give something to somebody, and if they can... Another one was, and excuse me for cutting that thought off, but I just remembered this. Another one that he does present in the book is somebody who's trying to get something bigger from you may say, do you believe in the environment? Yes, I do. Could you just sign this petition that just says, I want the environment to be better, and I think the town should clean up, and I'm doing a petition on the greening of my town, and I want people in the community to say that they are agreeing that we should do more recycling in our town. Oh, yeah, I'll just sign that, sure. And then that's one step. Next, they may say, they come back a week later and said, hey, we're moving ahead with this recycling program. Would you like to contribute just a dollar or two to help us get little buttons that say, I am a recycler? And so you're like, oh, I already committed to being part of this program. Sure, here's a dollar. And then what happens is, bigger and bigger commitments. Would you like to volunteer? Could you give us $50? So,
how you can bring this example to the relationship?
Well, we talk about, let's say this is the beginning of a relationship. Mm-hmm. We're not negotiating at this point. Well, maybe we are. We're negotiating for a date. Hey, Lizette, you're pretty nice. Would you like to go to dinner with me?
Yes.
And Lizette says, Whoa, that's such a commitment. I don't even know you yet. Go ahead. Okay. Such a commitment.
I don't know you, so.
So how about a cup of coffee?
Maybe.
In public, where there are other people.
Yeah. I bring my mama and my dog.
If you want to bring your mama and your dog, that's fine.
Okay.
And your husband.
And my husband.
Bring your husband. Sure, why not? The point is that a small commitment. Yes, mm-hmm. I'll go to have coffee with you.
And my family.
Starts with you and your family. Uh-huh. Starts I can't even think. She's smiling, and now I'm like dumbfounded.
You see how I feel when interruption? Again, I ruined your bag. Okay.
Take your water.
I never manipulate. Right.
No manipulation.
Okay.
Oh, what's that? So that's the Bob's chain sound as he's ringing back and forth. The point of that is, in trying to get a date with somebody and trying to meet somebody the first time, even in business, I'd like to come in and present you with something. Sorry, I don't have time for you. Could I send you something? Could I email you? Could I send you a brochure? That you're trying to just open the door for the next step, a bigger communication, a bigger date. Would you like to grab a cup of coffee? See if there's a fit. Hey, I don't know if there's going to be a fit. I don't know if you're going to like me. I don't know if this is going to go anywhere. Maybe we just decide that we want to do business together and not have a relationship.
Okay.
For business or for relationship, why don't we have a cup of coffee?
Mm-hmm.
That is a small step, and that's called commitment and consistency. That once you can get somebody moving in a direction, it is, and I always like it to, what is that, like Newton's third, second, first law of motion, where an object that starts in motion wants to continue in motion.
Mm-hmm.
That it's hard to get an object moving, but once it's moving, it wants to keep going that way. So you can keep accelerating it and accelerating it and accelerating
it. I have example this for the
relationship. I just want to say thoughts are the same way. Relationships are the same way. Go ahead.
So that you have to be consistent. So I start to pack in the clothes for Bob and put back this in the living room. So that's his commitment to my next step.
Could be. Or it is, hey, Bob, I'd like you to consider what do you think rents are now outside of our house? I don't want you to move yet. I just want you to start thinking about what kind of apartment would you like? You know, we don't have a pool. Wouldn't it be nice to have a pool? Oh, yes, be great to have a pool. You know, there are some apartments nearby that have pools.
Yeah.
So it's little things that can get someone thinking or moving in a certain direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, packing a bag. That's a pretty obvious first step.
Okay, but I am so transparent.
How about this? Bob, what color box do you like? For what? Don't worry about it. Would you like cardboard boxes or paper bags or plastic bags? What's your favorite? Plastic bags. Okay, great. Here's some plastic bags. Oh, thank you. What's this for? Oh, just see what you can fit in them, and you get them moving. Sorry, we're joking a little bit, but it's the first step in a negotiation, maybe even bringing up that subject instead of all at once and laying that subject on. Hey, Lizette would say, hey, Jim, can we talk about Bob and the future, like you're my future of what we want to do and the plans we have for our house? Okay, anything you want to talk about now? No, not now. I just want you to agree to have that meeting. Okay. So you can break these meetings into little pieces. It doesn't have to be going from no communication to all of the communication. Right? How do you eat an elephant?
I have to cook first.
You cook it first.
Yeah, because raw elephant is, I guess, no sushi elephant.
Elephant doesn't fit in your pot, so you have to do it one piece at a time, right? Yeah, so
exactly.
They talk about is that you start with a little chunk and then you build up and build up and build up. So that was the second one, commitment and consistency. There's another one which I thought was pretty interesting, which is called social proof.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a tough one for a relationship. For business, it's, hey, are you interested in our book, 90 Day Soulmate? Because hundreds and hundreds of people who have read this book have found their partner, their long-term partner, through reading this book. It's also called, like, the bandwagon. But social proof is all these other people are reading our book. You should be reading our book also. That is called social proof. Now, that might be a little bit more difficult in negotiation, but in business negotiation is, you know, there's, I sell light bulbs. Oh, all the major companies in this area are using our light bulbs because they have the right color rendering index, they have the right brightness, they make people more productive than any other bulbs out there. They're the brightest bulbs in the industry. That you're using others to justify
position. Yeah, but in relationship, you can also share data, statistics about the same example. For Bob, is how many successful couple live together versus family member in the house. So, you know, and then you show some data. They say high percent is not working, so why we do that? So that's this other social
That is proof. Social proof. Mm-hmm. Which also goes into something else, which is, this is in the close, is authority.
Yeah.
is that if you have some sort of authority, here I've got a report, I've got a research study done on successful long-term relationships and how a couple, how two people are have the best success for long-term relationship and long-term commitment when they don't have other factors like, oh, they don't have relatives
in the house.
When
people looking for therapy. So if the third party, it's not me, it's not you, it's a third party with more expertise or knowledge can bring one point in the negotiation topic.
So it's Bob, it's not our decision. We both want you to stay here, but our therapist says it's best for us that you move out.
There you go.
Now we're negotiating with Bob. We're not negotiating with each other.
Yeah. So that is it's more easy to do the social proof.
Social proof and authority using third-party authority.
Yeah.
Another one is, and we talked about liking early on, but liking, you want to like the person you're negotiating with. It's hard to have a negotiation with somebody that you don't like. Mm-hmm. Because then no matter what they say, you're going to want to immediately disagree with it.
Mm-hmm. No.
What do you mean, no?
Yes.
Yes. No. Yes. Yes. No. That if, and the other is they're more apt to agree with you if they like you. If they dislike you, I don't want to do what they do. I don't like the person. I like that person. I want to spend more time with them. If I get their solution, if we work this out together, I get to spend more time with them. I like them. So likability is very important. And then lastly, scarcity.
Okay.
And I'm going to... So in business, it's... We only have three more of these books left. And there are thousands of people who have the book and thousands who want it. But there are three left. And they're all at Barnes & Noble, which is going to be closing tomorrow at 3 o'clock in the afternoon forever. So scarcity. The book's running out and Barnes & Noble is closing. If you want one, you got to get it now. So scarcity breeds an emotional response.
Unlimited. I can say the next weekend I move out of the home if Bob is to stay here.
So that is, that's scaredity.
Yeah, you are scared right
I'm
now?
I'm scared.
Okay. Drink water. Yes, it's when you put limit, when you have the point and you put limit, that's the final stuff. And this kind of the limit is important to establish because maybe we have the same conversation the next month
and the next
year.
Right.
Because both have 5 years now or 10 years and we never finish the topic and we have a bad relationship with something that we never...
So time limit is part scarcity. And the other piece of scarcity that Lizette put very well was that if we do not have the solution with Bob by next week, I'm leaving.
I am my solution. Ooh. This is my option, yeah.
Is that true?
Yes.
Bob, Lizette.
No.
Hey, Bob, are we done with that book we're writing yet?
Now the next week, Bob and Jim.
Bob and Jim.
Yeah.
All right. We will be back with more 90 Day Soulmate with hopefully Lizette.
And Bob and Jim.
After this message.
Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions.
Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette.
And Jim.
During the break, we negotiated, and now it's Lizette and Jim. Bob is not going to be part of 90 Day Soulmate, except he'll be here on... on Sunday mornings as our engineer.
You destroy it.
I have no idea what we're talking about. Want to review again. I want to do a quick review of the book Persuasion... or Influence of Persuasion by Dr. Cialdini. My gosh, he has so many words on this front. The psychology, influence. Oh, it's the psychology of persuasion. And the book's called Influence, the psychology of persuasion. Wow, I read that wrong like 8 times. Six steps. I guess I need a sixth finger. I lost my sixth finger over there. So we start off with 3 things we do up front. Reciprocity. Commitment and consistency, getting someone moving in a direction, and social proof, others are doing this, others are living by themselves, they're not having relatives stay with them. Mm-hmm. So the three things up front before you try to close the negotiation is give and take. Hey, why don't I give you a cup of coffee? We'll sit down. We do something. And that forms a little bit of a nice relationship. Commitment and consistency. Lizette talked about up front saying, hey, I want to talk about Bob and talk about the problem up front, right? You don't want to talk about the biases and the emotional biases of Bob leaving dishes, but I want to talk about living with you by ourselves in this house as we move forward with our relationship. So that is the commitment to actually discuss that. And so that's moving the conversation in that direction before throwing all the, or in, avoid throwing all the emotion into it.
Yeah.
Social proof. Again, that is others. You can start bringing in others are doing this, are living by themselves. Eventually, others are moving out of, you know, when relatives come and you're helping someone out, your friend comes and you're helping them out. Eventually, they do move out and move on. My friend Jacob had his buddy Kyle living with him and helped him out for 3 months, but then Kyle was able to get on his own. Social proof is others are doing that. Then in order to solve this and finally negotiate, we want to be likable. So having a negotiation when you both like each other and you're not angry at each other and your emotions are low and you're smiling and not angry, you're going to have better communication and come to a better solution. Therapist, outside third party verification and validation of what you're trying to accomplish is also helpful. So that's an authority helping you. In business, it would be an authority, a third party certification of your process or of your equipment. And finally, scarcity. This deal is only on the table for the next 3 minutes. Or this is a hard close technique, which is I only have three more of these 90 Day Soulmate books left. We need to, if you want one, you need to make a decision now. That's scarcity. Or if you don't make a decision now, a week from now, I move out. And that's really tough line negotiation. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
It is.
So tell me about a work situation where something needed to be negotiated and the difficulty or the ease at which it happened.
Yes, I told you we have some example real situation when a group of one department people have a lot of stress because some of the team is not have doing the job and really well, no follow the agenda, don't have a document that they need at the time that we have to do. So the lead of the department say, okay, we have to have a meeting to solution this. We bring maybe human resource or the big manager, the big boss. You have to prepare the meeting. But your emotion, because you are in the middle of the job, you maybe can be bad because I am the boss of my team, create this kind of the I call the broken channel communication because the emotion start to come in. Okay. So in this situation, I recommend what is the point? What is the motive for this meeting? So what is the big issue that you want to put in the table to everybody participate and feel involved when you want to take a decision? And the person say, okay, we reviewed and say, okay, is the point number three. Okay, the point number three, impact our customer, impact the company, impact the reputation. This is the key topic.
Okay.
Drop that. Start the meeting, and I start to say, "Oh, John is not have followed the agenda. Tim don't have to document this, and Lisa is not doing the report on time." So, and then you missing all meeting talking about this. 1 hour later.
So instead of
everybody's angry.
Okay.
The meeting is gone because it's just 1 hour, and the topic number three, nobody put in the table.
So go again with the, I want to talk about what happens when one of your teammates is not prepared or doesn't have the skills necessary to do the work that they're assigned. That's what we want to talk about in this meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And how that impacts the rest of the team, how we can solve this challenge. That was, say, the initial goal of the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
The meeting starts and there's just complaint after complaint after complaint people's actions, people's reactions emotionally, that I was so embarrassed, I was so angry, it made me so mad. And it wasn't that the client, how did the client react? It doesn't actually, your teammate, it doesn't matter how the teammates, I mean, it does.
It does.
Because it impacts your teammates.
Yeah.
But the bigger picture is how that impacts the client.
Mm-hmm.
The client's not getting
the
what they need.
And the company.
The company.
You have to think in your company that you are be part.
Right.
So this is not your own view, is that we are part of the company, we have a customer, so how this situation impact the two party versus Lisa, John, Peter.
So it impacts the professionalism, it mm-hmm. impacts the work product, impacts how the client feels that you have operated as mm-hmm. a company, then how it impacts the team members who are frustrated.
Yeah.
And
the other important point is I know the theory that when you go to the meeting, you have to bring some solution, but sometimes you cannot do that because you have to listen or part mm-hmm. and also be participate. The solution is not your solution. It's a solution that everybody participate. Maybe it's more strong versus, okay, that's the problem and this is the solution. So what if we have the meeting?
Okay. Sure. And the other, if you've heard this before, is that, say we go into the negotiation about Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of us saying, Bob needs to move out, I say, I want to talk to you about spending more time with you, our future together, our intimacy, our love, and how it can grow over the next couple of years. And we focus on the positive of being together.
Mm-hmm.
Then I ask you, is there anything that you see that may be impeding this, our ability to do these things that I'd like to do with you? And then you bring up, well, Bob's always here with us, so we can't do some of those things. And I'm like, oh, wow. Not that I'm surprised, and I don't want to make it seem like I am manipulated, Lizette, into that answer.
Yeah, but also I can say how Bob become an independent person, because if we die, that Bob died too, because we feed him that.
He needs to be supportive on his own.
Exactly.
But the point is that I don't have to tell you exactly what I want to do with Bob, but I can tell you what I want to do with our relationship.
Yeah.
And then have you see maybe my perspective on Bob and how he's getting in the way of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then have you go, you know what? Maybe it's time for Bob to move out. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I agree with you. And it's you guys agreeing together on the outcome of what needs to be done based upon having the same goal. If you've ever heard that before, we always talk about having a mutual goal. And if you have a mutual goal in a relationship, it makes the decisions easier.
Yeah.
Mutual goals make decisions easier and negotiations less stressful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, and again, everybody has to be part of the negotiation. So I have to bring, okay, let me look in for the apartment for Bob. I see in some website they have good, and they have some studio room that
right.
he can keep going practice the engineering sound or whatever he's doing.
And you can still, Bob, you can still come here on Sunday.
You can walk to here.
You can walk from here. You can swim to here from your apartment because the pool's right in between.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. That works. So I think we hit a lot of different topics today.
Yeah. So what is you recommend to the our?
Recommend is uh-huh. number one, when you have something that you have to present and to you it's a very emotional subject, is to number one, schedule time to have the meeting or mm-hmm. the discussion with your partner. Make sure it's a time of day where they're not tired, they're not stressed,
mm-hmm.
they're not angry. Like if they just had a really bad day at work and they came home and they're telling you they had a bad day at work.
We have to talk.
We have to talk. Oh, yeah.
The phrase that we have to talk.
No.
Yeah.
There's the appropriate time to do it. The scheduling of, one, when the person is most receptive to listen. Mm-hmm. When you're most emotionally balanced to be able to present the challenge, present the goal. You know,
it's, and also, I recommend, I think, in the write the goal, put in some paper on your hand, so in the middle of the conversation, you remember this is the goal,
right?
Because you are so emotional, maybe you forget, why do we have this discussion? Right. And then you go back, okay, both have to move, so okay.
Because what happens is, if you're in the middle of a discussion and you start getting into those emotional things, like Bob leaves the dishes, his clothes, da-da, and you start looking at emotional examples, and the other person starts looking at emotional examples, and it can just escalate into...
Yeah.
Into, what's the word,
minutia. And then we divorce. We don't know why.
And Bob stays in the house. Yeah. Bob gets the house. Where did that go?
The cigarette in the corner.
It worked.
I got it.
It worked. So Bob, you're a conniving little... Oh, never mind. We're on the air.
Because he listens all messages we do in the show, and he creates a lot of skill.
Yeah. He's getting smarter. He knows now how to negotiate with us. Maybe he's doing the opposite. We're saying negotiate this way, not emotionally. And he's like, but if I drive them to emotion.
Backward psychology.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Backward psychology spells...
Okay.
That's psychology backwards.
So the recommendation is come down, looking for the first moment to do the conversation and keep focus on your
goal. On your goal. The focus is the goal. The supporting information for the goal should be based upon, I would say, positive outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the positive outcome is, if we do this goal, this is how I see this being positive for our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't do this goal, I could see it maybe becoming this way. What do you think? Or you can even ask the question, if we don't achieve this goal, how do you think this will impact our relationship?
Yeah.
And let the other person tell you the negatives of not doing the goal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then sometimes the negotiation come into different direction. And also I recommend in the end, when you believe it's closing the meeting, is evaluate again. If the decision make is attached with the original goal or is some different. Because maybe the negotiation didn't say, okay, maybe we move to bigger house.
Right.
And then I am so fascinated. Oh, yes, with the pool, with the backyard, with this. It was Bob.
With Bob.
So that's this other part that you have to think
right.
in, because you can keep going and you be distracting to the new, and the goal is not what is your agreement.
So I want to go back to something we just said, which I think is very important. And if you have the goal and you put the goal out in front of the person. I saw this as a sales tool years ago, 20, 30 years ago, it was a sales tool. You would write down on the paper with the person, you would both contribute to all the positives of making this decision.
Mm.
That if we make this decision, these are all the positives. You get better throughput. You have a better relationship. We love each other more. You have higher productivity. Mm. Your product quality is better. We get to spend more time together. So I'm mixing business and, of course, personal. But here are all the positives. And you work with them to come up with that positive list of, if we go ahead with this, this is all the positives. And then you say, if we don't do this, what are the negatives? And you let them provide the negatives. The reason for that is you're not trying to convince them of the negatives. When somebody answers the question themselves, they believe it. They believe what they answer. They believe what they come up with. They do not believe what you tell them, because they're going to a lot. They may, but a lot of times what people do is they hear your emotion and then they think, oh, you're just being emotional. But if they think about it and they have to answer those questions, what would happen if Bob doesn't move out? And then they have to go is, oh, Lizette's not going to be happy. She's still going to have these issues with the dishes being in the sink. that here are all the problems, and I'm now answering those questions, I now think these answers are real. Whereas if Lizette was saying them to me, I see those answers as, oh, she's just being angry. She's just being emotional. She's just trying
selfish,
to get her way.
Selfish. You know, you can want to support people.
So the number one thing in negotiation is have the goal, have the issue, have the challenge on the table, work together to the positive outcome, and have them come up with the negatives of not doing it. And I think that's a good balance of looking at it. And always try to remove the emotion from it. Right time of day. Never negotiate on an empty stomach.
Yeah.
Never negotiate when you're tired, and never negotiate when you're angry. That's it. Thank you for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Negotiate well.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara on